County Commission is back from recess to conduct a public hearing regarding the 2012 Taney County proposed budget. Jim, do you have a copy of the statute regarding today's hearing?
I do. It's statute 50.600. The budget document shall be presented to the County Commission in typewritten or in printed form. Copies shall be available for public distribution. The County Commission shall hold at least one public hearing on the proposed budget before final action is taken. At least 5 days' notice of the hearing shall be given, and the hearing shall not be held within 10 days after the budget document is made available to the public.
We have a budget to spread upon the records, a proposed 2012 county budget. And we will be taking any public comments that will be offered today through this public hearing regarding this budget. We will be accepting any public comments, either oral or written, through the County Commission regarding this budget up and through January 6th, which I believe is a Friday at 5 p.m., at which time we will then bring the budget document back before the public and adopt the budget for 2012. There are a number of items that are not contained within the document that we have that's presented today. The reason being, number one, we were just awarded a grant, for example, in the Sheriff's Department, and were notified of that grant this morning regarding personnel salaries and a grant that had been applied for through the state of Missouri. So that will be infused into the 2012 budget. We are contemplating working with the elected officials and employees within the courthouse through a salary study that we have had performed, looking at those employees who have not had salary increases for 2 and some for 3 years within the county system. There are also a couple of other areas that we're awaiting information from the state and from the Fed that need to be infused into this budget as well, all of which will be made public and will be contained within the document if we take final action upon those figures that we receive, or that information, I should say, that we receive. We have agreed as a county commission that one of our priorities, and we will at least begin the initial outlining of how to go about this over the course of the next 10 days, but over the course of the next couple of months, begin preparing I don't want to say for the long haul, but working with the elected officials and department heads within the county system to look at a financial plan for the next 3 years, to see how we can better position ourselves so that this county commission is not saying, you're not going to get the funds that you need to operate your office. We are looking at, and part of it is in fact due to some capital improvements that we have within the county, but we're looking at a shortfall of $1.9 million. The county commission is stepping up and taking that out of, at least at this time, reserves so that we can move forward with what we have, in fact, discussed with all the elected officials and department heads. We haven't made any changes, to the best of my knowledge, to any of the budgets wherein we've had meetings with the department heads after we've had those meetings. We have... My point is, our discussions with those department heads, and I see that some are here today and or their representatives, are wondering if, in fact, we have cut deeper than what we had shared with them at those meetings. And I'm accurately stating that, aren't I, that we have not done
correct
that. If we continue at the rate that the county has been headed, to the best of what I can discern over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, our county within the next 3 years will be in tremendous difficulty. We're fortunate in that we have a reserve. We're fortunate that we can tap that reserve, but it won't be there for long if we continue to spend $2 million more a year than what we have. So there are a number of long-range things that we need to look at. We need to work with the Sheriff's Department in putting forth our best effort to see if we can bring federal prisoners to Taney County. We need to, in fact, look at central purchasing, real central purchasing, and what that can mean to the county in the way of savings. And there are a number of ideas and thoughts that we have, but we also want to get those thoughts, those ideas, and recommendations from all the elected officials and department heads. It's incredibly important that we undertake a study and that we put together a master plan for finances, if you will, that will carry us over the course of the next 3 or 4 years. I believe we can do it. I believe we can shore up the revenues that this county has lost. And I believe that we can put ourselves back on the right track where we need to be headed. It has been no fun for me to come back to a county where I served as one of the other elected officials, that of county clerk for 20 years, and suddenly be cast as the bad guy that is hammering on everybody's revenues and the services that everyone is required to provide. There are a number of elected officials that are in this county, and you have real obligations and you have serious responsibilities. I know that, and the two gentlemen that I'm seated here with know that. And we want to do everything in our power to assure that the funds are available to provide the services that you know that you need to provide. On the other hand, we could not put ourselves in the position of being fiscally irresponsible since last January by just awarding funds that we didn't have. We received requests that were $2.6 million more than we had approved just this past January. And yet, we have fewer revenues to operate with in 2012 than we had in 2011. And I want to thank the elected officials and the department heads within this county system that have worked so well with us during this budget period and have, in fact, reduced their requests at or near the 2011, and many have gone beneath what they received in revenues for the 2011 budget. And I applaud you all for that. It's not what we had hoped for when we started this process, but it's where we're at today. It's my intention that this county commission better communicate with all the other elected officials and department heads from this point forward, and that we have regular meetings so that we can, in fact, share where we're at, you can share where you're at, and we can prioritize as a group what direction we truly need to be going. And hopefully, by working together, we can find those needed revenues. And I know I've talked a whole lot more than I told these guys I was going to, because I wasn't. I was just going to ask for public comment. But I felt it was important at least to make those comments. You gentlemen have a comment before I ask for public comment?
Let's go to public comment.
Is there anyone here today that have comments that they would like to make regarding the 2012 budget? Any comments from you, Mr. Finley? Well said. None? Gentlemen, I turn to you then for comment.
Go ahead, Danny.
This has definitely been probably the most difficult year that we have looked at budget-wise, even though the previous years had employee cuts that were extremely painful as we took action for correction in the budget process. As you review this county commission budget, and you'll see that that the sewer department has their budget was not included in the GCR revenues, and then you'll see that R&B with some corrections that we made a couple of years ago, has some money to go into the reserve account instead of being taken away from the reserve account. They have a $300,000-plus number that's going in to the reserve. So it's easy to make a budget when you're growing 8 and 9%, and it's very difficult when your financial situation is less than that, and the dollars aren't there. So I appreciate all the hard work that everybody's put in, that every elected official has stepped up to the plate and appreciate their help.
Jim?
I would want to applaud the elected official department heads. They all did come back after our state of the budget hearing. They came back and all re-looked at their budget, made a bunch of concessions and compromises, and we were able to reduce our overall request to a point where it was less than last year. So we did go the proper direction. It is true that we're looking at about a $1.9 million shortfall. One of the commitments I know I made and the other commissioners made was that we were not going to touch personnel. And so when that commitment was made, we have to look at, if we were to balance the budget, we'd have to cut personnel and cut services. And that was something that I felt like was not necessary at this stage. We do have a reserve for such an event as this when the economy's down. So I felt like dipping into the reserves was a necessary step. Now, when people look at this budget, will say this is not a sustainable budget, meaning in 5 years, if we don't change anything, we'll be out of the reserves. That's true. And so that is why it's essential that we start the process of looking at the long-range financial plan for the county so that we can size the expenses and to the revenues properly. And so that may be, through the years, reduction in services or increase in revenues. Like Commissioner Hausman just mentioned, federal prisoners would make a big difference to our jail operation. If there was to be a sales tax put on the ballot for 911, that would help our GCR budget tremendously. So there's lots of different things over the next multiple years that can affect us in a positive way that we won't be in a situation year after year of this agonizing process. Like Danny mentioned, the road and bridges, we believe sized properly. We have a little bit of buffer there so that if we need to have a major equipment purchase, we have the revenues to do that. I mean, there's a lot of projects that we could take on in road and bridge, and they have really stepped up to operate with less, maintain the services, maintain the output of work, and they've done a great job over the last multiple years getting us sized properly with revenues and expenses. So I was pleased with Road and Bridge. And I would say that I wouldn't paint this as a doom and gloom picture for the county because we are very financially sound. I mean, I talk to other commissioners quite often in other parts of the state, and we have a reserve. We're thankful for that because there's many counties that don't. There's many counties that are laying off people left and right because they don't have any other options, and we have options. We're addressing it as fast as we can without affecting our constituents, our citizens, and our employees. So very pleased with the process. It was a long process, but separating out the sewer department was difficult. And then looking through all the different departments and where we can cut without cutting services. So it was a longer process, but overall pleased with all the work that was done.
I think just as a note for the elected officials that we've worked with, because I mentioned 3 to 4 years and you mentioned 5 years, and 5 years based at no growth will be out of a reserve. We know that we're going to grow. I mean, can you imagine? I couldn't, as an elected official, spend 5 years in office and not see any increase at all in a budget. If that happened in 5 years, we'll be out of our reserves. If we grow at all, and we all know that we're going to, in expenditures, because we're going to have mandates and we're going to have to carry those mandates, I believe it's going to happen less time than that. I believe we're looking at a 3 to 4 year threshold, at which time, here's where we're at. There's no reserves, and there'll be massive terminations. There'll be a shortening of the work week in the county courthouse. County employees will be working 30-hour weeks. We may be open 4 days. There are other counties that are doing that now. That's where we'd be if the county commission weren't making these tough decisions that we've been making. And that would happen somewhere between 3 and 5 years from now. That's a certainty. And we wouldn't be nearly as close or better off, I don't know how to best phrase that. Because of your help this time, it puts us in a much better shape, much better position. And that's why I think that it's important that we start communicating and talking and enlightening one another as to what, boy, here's what's absolutely required over here. And Ron, you need to know this is what happens over here in the court system. And the people that are in the court system need to understand, well, there's also a lot of stuff here that's not in the court system that is mandated that must happen. And I think that when we all see that bigger picture, it's going to make it easier. And I believe that by working together, we can beat this. Again, we're in far better position than almost every single county in the state of Missouri. And I'm pleased with that personally. It's just that it's been very hard to get us in the position. You guys made the tough decisions with Road and Bridge before I came on. Because you made those decisions, that's why Road and Bridge is in much better shape today. Any comments, folks? Anything at all? Yes?
I'm wondering what we as a public can do to assist this whole process. How can we get on board with all of you? Now, I'm a real estate agent, and real estate agents have some power within a county. What can we do?
I mean, let me. One of the things that I realize when I talk to citizens about the budget, because it's obviously been going on for a while, is an education. We need to do a better job telling the citizens how the budget operates. It's a very complex document, and we need to do our part to educate the citizens. This is how the budget operates, and then better also educate or inform the citizens. You know, what are the mandates? What do we have to do as a county commission to fund? A lot of things in the courts, we have no choice. A lot of things in the collector and the clerks, and you know, there's just different aspects of the budget we have no say over, basically, of what we can and can't do. But I think part of it is we have to do our part to educate and inform so that they understand. I mean, I think it's a lack of understanding, and sometimes, and the document being complex like it is, it's multiple tabs. I don't even know how many tabs and departments we have, but it's a complex document. We have to do our part. And then, you know, reality is take what we say at face value. There's a lot of, I guess, non-trust in elected officials, and numbers don't lie. And when you're looking at budgets and numbers, I mean, you're going to have to take the numbers at face value and go from there. But we have to do our part, too.
Are you actually saying there's nothing we can do to assist this process?
Let me say that hopefully we're going to put together a couple of committees that are going to assist. Part of what I've already stated is I think we need to reach out to the financial community and others within this community to chat with us about ways that we might move our finances forward. Is there a different type of government that might work better? It has in other counties, charter form. It may not work with a hoot here and may not be accepted at all, but at least it's an option that can be looked at. I feel that there will be places that we're going to request individuals from the public to offer assistance. There are areas in professional services that we could utilize. I know better some of the people through volunteering within the county that we've not tapped. We're spending a we've got to look at the job that the county commission does from a new perspective. We've got to do our job better. This county commission made a great decision, not this county commission, a prior county commission made a great decision and purchased insurance at a much reduced rate that saved the county thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on the premiums they were paying. Unfortunately, while we paid lower premiums for the insurance, for liability and for different products, what didn't realize was, well, the upfront attorney fees weren't covered. And when there was litigation, the attorney fees weren't covered, as they were with old policies. So where we saved tens of thousands, we lost twice that much in attorney fees. We have to reverse that trend so that, okay, maybe it's all right to pay a little bit more for the insurance and save twice as much on legal fees that we're going to be out. Because regardless of how we operate county government, we're going to be facing legal fees, whether it's in the sheriff's department, the road and bridge department, whether it's in something the commission does, in any department within this county system. So we have to think as a commission smarter. We have to look at ways that we can save money and that we can put the county on track. And we can do that, I think, in part by appealing to members of the public to help us. I was in an old think tank for years with a group over in Branson. It was great. The ideas that came up, we passed on to cities and to chambers, and no one even knew we were back there. Let me say this over. I was back there listening. They were the ones that were coming up with the ideas, but we can do that here. And so there will be areas, I think, that we can get involved. We made the conscious decision that, you know, we've had monies that have been sitting in the budget to hire an executive director for economic development. We haven't. We hadn't found the right fit, or the right fit hadn't been found prior to me. But the thinking was maybe we could collaborate with the cities all through the county and with the chambers, and we could do something collectively that would be better. I honestly believe it will be better. And I believe that by pursuing economic development in that fashion, with Forsyth involved and Rockaway and Miriam Woods and Branson and Hollister, and that we're going to bring jobs into this area. I mean, there are things that we can be doing that we're taking steps to do, but we need more ideas, and those ideas are going to come from the public. Good. Rick, you started to say something, sir.
Sherry, I firmly believe that the best way the public can help is, number one, if you have ideas of making this a better community, something that somebody's going to want to move to, somebody's going to want to move a business here to bring jobs here, to bring commerce here, those ideas they need to have. That's important. Second thing is, you know, our biggest expenses probably as a county are taking care of the people that don't behave the way they should behave. And so just raise everybody up, be highly moral people is going to help the county. And I don't really, you know, I know you think that that's, as an individual, what can I do? I hope you've already done that because I think your kids are raised now, but that's very, very important.
We've got to put ourselves in a position that Mike and the services that he provides and what he does with juveniles can be funded. And so that the sheriff, in fact, doesn't have to think that each time there's a budget comes up that we're going to take his funds and he's not going to be able to provide law enforcement. We've got to find a way to make sure that we have the revenues necessary for him to do his job. And I see a representative of the prosecutor's office. The same is true there. When we take away their funding because we don't have the funding to provide, they can't provide the services that they so badly need to provide. We've got to think smarter, and that's what we're going to do our best to do.
I think we have to be, and I'm addressing you because you asked the question, I think we have to be smarter about the TIFs that we impose upon projects in the county that take funds from us at an increasing amount every time we do a budget. and the cannibalism that takes place within our small business areas that move, and the sales that take place within the TIFs, and reduces the amount of revenue that we have coming forward out of our other areas where we have commercial businesses. Things like that that are proposed by the general public or by a certain district or anything like incorporated area that decides they want to TIF something, they need to have a thought about how this affects the entire area. It may be a good deal for that particular project, but it may not serve the citizens of the county in a positive way.
Questions from the press? Yes, sir.
Voting Bridge, I haven't seen the budget yet. Have you guys funded an administrator?
We have dollars that are available within Road and Bridge for professional services. We're still looking.
We did fund that position again.
Okay.
We have the salaries will be. I'm not sure. It's lumped together at this stage because we didn't have the detail ready. Like Ron mentioned, we're still looking at increases for cost of living increases. That's what the salary study that Linda has done for us from HR. But they're in that Road and Bridge. There is money available for the administrator. Yes.
And Tyler, I'll be glad to email it to you. I think you like to get it by email, right?
Email would be great. Yeah.
Okay.
I have two questions. I was curious if you found the money, if there will, are there going to be raises, as you've discussed before? And second, I see there's no money in the budget for animal control.
Yes, there is.
Let me look here.
Let me restate that. It's supposed to be.
$180,000 in there.
Should be $180,000.
It's where is it, Rick?
What department is that, Rick?
You get your tab.
Animal Control is Department 136. If you go to your totals page.
Got it.
136 has $0 in there.
At least if that.
Oh, I've got 180.
You're right. I was looking at the wrong line, a different line. 180, there is money in there.
We did not break out line item by line item how they would spend it because that's contractual with the health center. So what we'll do by contract is pass the dollars that are here through to them.
So you're saying animal control has been budgeted?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It was budgeted at the same level it was funded in 2011.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're aware that some of the counties have just cut out animal control completely.
I kind of thought that might be why you asked that.
Yeah, no, we funded it.
And on the second part was the raises. The 5% that we were looking for in the budget.
We are going to be working with our HR director, who has completed a salary study, and over the course of the next few days, obviously prior to the finalization of this budget, to look at those employees who have not seen an increase, as I said, in 2 to 3 years. You smiled at me. Did I not answer your question?
Well,
yes, we are. I am fully intend to work with the commission to give raises based off the salary study that we're reviewing.
Any idea how much you're willing to spend? How much does it cost?
That's part of the salary study. Some departments and some individuals are paid based off the study double-digit percentages under the market study, under the market level. Some are at market level. And so what the county will have to decide is, are we going to make a giant step and everyone gets lumped and moves up at 1 year, or are we going to have to do a staged approach? So that's part of the discussion that we have to have is, based off the study, I've seen some large increases, and, you know, is that the plan versus just having a multiple year plan of approach to get everything right? Since this is our first salary study we've done, we have to start somewhere, which I'll probably be leaning toward the recommendation of Linda, which is a phased-in approach.
Okay, so that's not a blanket approach then. You have 300 employees, all 300 aren't going to get a raise.
Not necessarily.
They haven't had a raise for a while, or that in the salary study that should be brought up will be brought up.
Jan, I wasn't really trying to duck your question. It's just that we've not made that decision.
Right.
And so we don't know. We don't know what we're going to do. We have saved this until the very last piece of this puzzle,
right,
so that we, in fact, can sit down with Linda and get some recommendations on
right
how to do it. We, again, we just haven't had the discussions, and we don't know the direction we're going to take, but we are going to take some direction. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Any other questions? Again, as I mentioned earlier, we're open for suggestion, whether it be from elected officials, department heads, members of the public, between now and January 6th.
January 6th at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock. Then on the 9th, we're going to have a public hearing. We will adopt the budget for 2012. Did you start to say something, Tyler? No. That will conclude the public hearing regarding the budget. Our next item of business, Mr. Ashley, if you'll come up, we're going to sit down roundtable session up here, and we'll go through what it is that you wanted to present to us. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Push these tables together. Oh, okay. Sorry. It's easier for us to interact with you.
Exactly. Okay. Bob, if I can, I'm going to sit here with, I can have a plug in right there.
Okay.
You're rambling? I'm thinking, man, there's got to be some good quotes in there somewhere.
So. We're still on, aren't we? Thanks for sharing that.
Jim concurs.
And where would you like me?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Oh, okay. Okay.
I didn't know.
He hates standing. He has a presentation regarding
development control.
Proposed the proposed amendments.
Proposed amendments from PNZ.
Oh yeah.
It's open.
How many people I guess so.
That's what was submitted just now. I've asked for some more detail. Yes.
The organizational.
That's why I asked for a structure.
What?
I don't know. I thought there was. I'm hopeful too. Yeah, that's true. Very much. In your dissertation, I heard that.
Yeah. Would you mind very much, Mr. Ashley, if I got a cup of coffee?
Oh, no.
Would anybody like a cup of coffee? Lynn? How about you, sir?
Yes.
I'll be glad to get it. Do you want some mix in it?
Yes, surprise me.
Yeah.
And
can we start without you?
You want a copy?
Yes.
All right. I'm looking through last email. We're not going to talk about the release of bond money, right? In this work session, are we?
I had understood just, that it was just going to be the
okay. That's what I mean. I saw an email late yesterday from you, so I didn't know if that was going to be added to the discussion.
Okay.
Okay. So what? How many policies are you proposing? Looks like quite a lot here.
Well, basically, what we've got total is pages 1 through 3 are actually. Some items that have been proposed as amendments this year.
When you say proposed, the Planning and Zoning Board has approved?
Yes, yes.
As recommendations for the Commission to consider?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes. The Planning Commission has voted on all of these proposed amendments, and they're recommending the adoption of all these various amendments. The way I tried to structure this, or the way the staff tried to structure this, is basically all of the proposed additions, we've tried to highlight any proposed deletions we've just put in as a strike through.
Okay.
A number of these items, from my understanding, were items that were previously proposed.
Okay.
The county attorney recommended many of these items that had been previously proposed. In speaking with the county attorney, he had recommended that we bring those items back before the Planning Commission. One of the concerns was some of these items, it didn't appear to specify where in the book we were amending some of these things. And so a number of these things are actually a rehashing of some items that have been presented previously.
Page 2, I'm confused on your second one here.
Okay.
That doesn't make, if I take the strike throughs out, I don't understand what that statement means. On page 2, wastewater control. Developers shall obtain and produce a permit from the applicable wastewater system permitting entity. So you're saying, I guess it would be Hollister, Branson, Rockaway Beach, is that right? Is that what you're trying to do, is not limited to the sewer district?
That was the main concern there, was that somebody would take a literal interpretation of that.
Okay.
Because in some instances, if it's a package plant, for example, it actually requires Missouri Department of Natural Resources approval.
Okay.
And then if it's a septic system now, the county planning department is actually handling those, of course, those septic systems in conjunction with the state health department. And so we just wanted to leave that more open, depending on what entity.
Whatever the authority.
Exactly.
Okay.
Was responsible for.
Okay. That makes sense now. Okay. So this is
I didn't know what the wish of the commission was. Does the commission wish for me to go through these one at a time, or
it's the only way we're going to be able to go.
Yeah, okay. We're going to have all these questions.
Exactly.
So we're just going to have to.
Okay.
Start number one, page one, then.
Okay. I guess starting on page one, what was looked at here, and this is a new proposal. This is something that just came up within the last several months. Is what was noted is we had a discrepancy in two different parts of the code book. In Section 6, it spoke to a requirement for a 25-foot-wide buffer between a commercial use and a residential land use. But in Table J2, it spoke to a 40-foot buffer. And so that was the first item that we wanted to correct, was in one area of the code book, basically it spoke to requiring a 40-foot-wide buffer. In another area, it spoke to requiring a 25-foot-wide buffer. The other thing we've seen quite a bit of is we've actually had a number of proposals recently where we may have an existing residence that they're wanting to seek approval for a commercial use. And in a number of these instances, they didn't have the width. Basically, the whole lot was not wide enough to allow for 25 feet of buffering. And so what the Planning Commission members wanted to see was they wanted to have the ability to have a little more flexibility. So basically what it used to say is it used to say that the use of a wall or fence as part of the buffer is an option but will not reduce the required minimum width. And so what we've actually seen is in a number of instances we've had to have applicants seek a variance from these requirements because their lots aren't large enough to accommodate a 25-foot buffer.
Right. Help me out then. So if, in fact, they choose the option of putting up a wall, you might do away with the 25-foot requirement. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what's proposed is under the proposed verbiage, the Planning Commission could actually allow for a wall or fence in lieu of the 25-foot required buffer. And the thought there, like I said, was really in a lot of instances, especially on some of these smaller lots, it's just not physically possible to put in a 25-foot width of vegetative buffering. So it would actually be a 25-foot width of trees and you know, bushes and various vegetation. And so that was really the intent, was the Planning Commission wanted to have the ability, if the conditions of that particular site dictated it, to propose to basically ask for a fence or berm or other screening device in lieu of that buffer.
Can I ask you another question?
Oh, yeah.
There's a Division 1 permit. There's a Division 2 permit.
Yes.
What's required on those? Just very quickly. Division 1 is?
A Division 1 permit is essentially a construction permit for a residence or a residential use or for the placement of a mobile home. A Division 2 permit is more of a construction permit for a commercial structure or a church.
Right.
And then a Division 3 permit is more of a land use permit or a zoning permit.
But you've already determined that there's going to be a structure in the Division 1?
Well, normally, because this is, because we've got a more of a performance-based system.
I guess my question, and I apologize.
I may not be.
and I may be way off base. But you're not discussing this alternative buffering until you reach the Division 3 permit process, right?
Yes, that's correct. And so this
is there a reason why it's not done at Division 1 or Division 2 or just?
Well, under the current set of regulations, anytime someone's got has a proposal for a specific parcel of property, they're actually bringing in a site plan for that specific proposal. So under the current regulations, they're really seeking approval either for a specific use or a specific list of uses, and they usually even bring in a site plan for that use.
Okay, well, I apologize.
No.
It just seems to me that if you come in and you utilize the site plan and it falls within that 25-foot buffer, that's automatically going to be rejected. So that must not be true. Because now we're waiting till the Phase 3 before you make the decision to allow a privacy fence rather than, no?
Well, sometimes it's easiest with some examples, and these will be some.
If this is not pertinent, just tell me. I'm just trying to get it in my
No. I understand where you're coming from. Some current examples that we've had, and I won't use specific names, but we've had some recent examples where we've had a fairly small tract of land that's had an existing residence located on it, and they'll seek to, in one case, for example, they sought approval to convert this residence into a photo shop. And in that particular instance, they're just going to utilize the existing house as the photo shop. During the Division III process, basically, one of the requirements is that they, if this is approved for a commercial use and is adjacent to a residential use, during the Division III process, there's this requirement for this 25 foot of buffering, basically. And so right now, the way this is worded, essentially, we have instances where there's not 25 feet available between the existing residence and some that they're proposing to convert to commercial and this residential use. I was a little surprised that it's that specific too, but it is very specific. It talks about a specific width and then it actually does specify the types of planting even that have to take place within that buffer yard area.
I went through this, read it again this morning after reading it the first time, and I was concerned about the fact that the requirement of a privacy fence, when not this commission, but all former commissions have been approached by many citizens about the existence of a nuisance close to their residence, facility, or business. They talk about undergrowth of brush, and that's what it talks in here, is just talk about specifics. It says about the leaving undergrowth brush and anything that might buffer the sound of something. I myself think that is something that I couldn't support at all, because of the complaints that we've had over the years about nuisance of rodent control and just natural look of property. So, and I understand the privacy fence. I could go along with a privacy fence if someone needed to put one up to separate a residential community from business. But I can't see that in a populated area where you're trying to have a nice looking facility that you could let the brush and growth grow up in an area and cause a depreciation in value of property versus
help me out. That already exists, right? That's already...
Ron, my whole statement is to
do away with
more regulation in this circumstance versus something that... This doesn't make a bit of sense to me, that you would allow this in a nice neighborhood, because we've received complaint after complaint about rodent control and the look of underbrush and people not keeping their place cleaned up. And so I don't particularly understand why all that is in there. Like you said, it's pretty specific about what it says.
Well, and it basically requires, it's requiring vegetative buffer basically when there's a proposed commercial use.
Yeah,
adjacent to residential.
It's different in 6.11, right? It's a landscape buffer.
Yes, and that's even this is referring to a landscape buffer. I'll be honest, what the approach is with this, since we don't have a traditional form of zoning currently, is you can really request any use for any parcel of property in Taney County, but if you propose a commercial use that's adjacent to an existing residential use, it basically requires this buffering currently, this landscape buffering.
And the additional language is, you'd like the option of
putting in fencing, right, or a wall or a berm, really in lieu of this vegetative requirement. And really, you're right, and that's some of the things that the Planning Commission brought up as well, was they had a concern that in some instances we've had this requirement for this vegetative buffer, and it hasn't been maintained over a period of time. So it starts out as this vegetative buffer 10 years down the road.
Ends up
it
nice
may be an area that's just grown up. And so the Planning Commission felt like there may be a lot of instances where really a privacy fence or wall or berm might be more appropriate. And that was the thought, was just to give them a little more discretion in what we require. Because, I mean, basically before, it was just flat out, you've got to put in this 25-foot width of plant material left in an undisturbed state. And
do you think that on issues that we want to check mark off here that we need to go before the P&Z board and voice our concerns? Because I can't see in a good neighborhood that anybody would want a buffer zone in there with undergrown brush with ticks, snakes.
This is not for neighborhoods.
Yes, it is. It is if they decide to put a commercial business within
a nice neighborhood.
And within a nice neighborhood. And I can see a fence, I can see a berm or something there to protect them, but I cannot see letting something grow up where the neighbors themselves have to put up with ticks, snakes, and rodents. There ought to be more common sense involved in this wording as to have that take place.
Well, I like the alternative wording, the privacy fence.
Mm-hmm.
And today, that's what he's here for, is can they add...
Can they add it? Because right now, if we don't accept this...
But if you want to go back and discuss this other, I understand that.
If we want to add it, what I'm saying is I don't want to add... That's the way government operates. We always add two. It's kind of like going to the doctor and getting a pill for something. You go the next time and he doesn't take that pill away, he gives you something else to go on top of it. Pretty soon, you're a sick man over the situation. That's the same thing we do here. We have a buffer zone, and then we have a fence that could be put in. So what I'm trying to do is take away from the regulation instead of adding to the regulation. And I see this buffer, as you said, at one place in here where I read it was 40 feet in the past, and it's 25. I mean, somebody's saying that there's a problem there. I can think of two or three of these examples that you're talking about where there's...
So I guess what my question is, what are you proposing today? You want to do away with the plant material and require only a fence?
Require a fence or a berm or something in between... In between there, something that's...
But don't allow the existing vegetation.
I don't think it's appropriate myself. It talks like in, as I read through here, that you have to use, you know, if you put anything in there, you're going to be in violation. It's got to be existing plant.
Right.
I mean, what if you got a multiple floor rose patch, or you have a poison oak or poison ivy patch in this deal that you need to get rid of.
So, if I'm understanding, you're not against what's in yellow, you're against what's not in yellow, because you want that removed.
Yep.
And you won't do what's in yellow until the above is taken care of.
That's the way I feel about it.
Okay. All right, for the sake of time, can we continue on?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Ron, I'm just asking the other commissioners. I'm not directing.
Well, I think that was directed at that what Ron's question was is when he asked what you're actually trying to do, and I know of circumstances where there's tried to be a commercial business put in, and people have put a privacy fence up there now, Jim, mm-hmm. when before it wasn't nothing but a stinking mess of vines, growth, and vegetation, and we had nuisance calls out there because there was things growing into county next to a county road or whatever. We had to go out and trim things up, and this limits what you can do to that buffer area. So,
could I just ask something? Would you please read 6.1.2, please? We keep talking about commercial versus residential. Where does it put Church Army?
And I appreciate your comment. Here's the thing. We've hired Bob to start working on the code book.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to do is focus on the yellow. I mean, but also, Bob, make a note of that. That seems... needs to be reworked, just like Danny's saying. I just would like to make, if we agree with them, the recommendations, and that's what I'm hoping to get through this, because, but I also agree.
I'm sorry.
No, that's right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
One thing I did want to bring up just really quickly, too, we've got this as a work session, because I know, I didn't know what
we've set it up this way so that you could impart to the three of us.
Okay.
What P and Z was recommended.
Exactly.
That's what this is. So.
Okay.
So I want you to do that, and how to do that is what Jim suggested. Let's focus on what P and Z is recommending.
Exactly.
I have the ability and will probably come and chat with you if I feel there are things in here that you need to consider, and I would encourage all of us to do that.
Oh, exactly.
But let's... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you, other than I don't think it's one individual that goes to him and asks him to do this when we're sitting here in a work session as a commission, when we can either agree or disagree,
well, sure.
that we see that this, what what this was brought up, and then what I talked about, I think it's unacceptable to add to if you don't take away from. And I think we're all in agreement with that.
The next items on page 2 and 3, really the reason we changed the verbiage here.
I don't think you even need to go into that.
Okay.
You guys?
No,
okay.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
That's very clear.
Okay. That was my
looks
thought
like page
there.
3 is the same, you change the same wording again.
Exactly.
That looks fine to me.
And like you said, Jim, all that is just changing from some...
specific to it. Whoever's the governing authority.
Governing authority.
Right.
Exactly.
And that might be better terminology than the way you've got it in here. Governing authority, other than...
I like the wastewater system permitting entity.
Yeah, that's fine. That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
That's who's... All right.
Starting on page 4, this is where these were actually amendments... that were proposed in previous years. Basically, a lot of the things here, you can see the original language is struck out. The proposed language is highlighted in yellow. Some of these things are, I think they were intended more for a clarification than anything, because he's really... At that, you know, at that time, he didn't really, the former planning administrator really a lot of this doesn't change the intent of it, but I think the intent was to try to further clarify, the subdivision regulations here.
That at least two did not exist before.
You're adding that. Anything yellow, you're adding. Is
right.
That
yes. That's what okay. I'm saying. But I'm saying it was not in existence.
That's what I'm saying, too. I'm saying,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's think about that for a second.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, at the dumb moment, you got, it can't be a minor subdivision unless you split the land.
Yeah.
So.
And so, a lot of this was intended more to be a clarification.
Well, help me out. If I have 20-acre parcel, I give my son 5 acres. I'm now a minor subdivision.
Not with this.
It says at least two lots. That's two lots.
And honestly, currently, it does look at that as a minor subdivision.
Okay. So, I'm taking that wrong because I've argued this for 7 or 8 years since I've been, before I was in office. That's exactly where we're at, Ron, with what's wrong with this situation.
Well, I think that clarifies that that's still going to be what you say is wrong.
Okay. I thought the parcel itself and had to be more than two. So if you did that, that's what I was thinking.
What's your interpretation about this?
I had really understood. Now, of course, under the current regulations, basically, if you've got your 20-acre tract of land and you're splitting out five, it's looked upon as a minor subdivision. Even after this amended verbiage, it would still be looked upon as a minor subdivision. Now, one of my hopes, and of course, I've not completed this draft. I'm in the process of writing a draft set of regulations. My thought was to actually look at amending this 40-acre requirement, but that's not what's before us now. Basically, this is always looked at anything 40 acres or less, basically falling under planning and zoning's jurisdiction.
It used to be 10 at one time.
Well, I guess, Mike, once you're considered a minor subdivision, here we are, maybe this answers it, and I missed it.
And essentially, a minor subdivision is approved administratively, and so there is a requirement for a survey or a plat, but the plat is approved administratively in the office.
You know, you've got some things in here.
Do I have to have it surveyed? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes.
If I give my 5 acres to my son, first let's clarify, I don't have 20 acres. If I give 5 acres of my 20 acres to my son, I have to have that surveyed.
The way it's written, both currently and even with the proposed changes,
are there any other costly rules that I would fall under because I'm a minor subdivision?
The primary cost is going to be the cost of the subdivision or the cost of the survey.
And I have to record it.
And you do have to record the document. And there's a $50 fee in the planning office.
That's where I was headed, Bill, okay. Because this misleads you when it says 2 acres, the tracts can be 2 acres or less. If they do not meet the state water, the soil testing, then you have to increase that. It can either, some acreages can be as much as four. I know that to be a fact.
Well, and let me kind of go, I can go through that in a little more detail too. Basically, you're exactly right. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources, they have a subdivision rule, this is a state requirement where they will, any subdivision that 7 lots or greater falls under their jurisdiction. And so if it's 6 lots or less, then it doesn't fall on, it's basically exempt from the DNR if it's six lots or less. And then if it's 5 acre tracts or greater, it's also looked upon as exempt from the state's regulations. And so my thought when this was written, I think they really tried to take that into account to say, well, if it's a subdivision that's creating 6 lots or less, it's going to be looked upon as a minor subdivision. And I think the thought there was likely, well, with it being 6 lots or less, it's exempt from the Missouri DNR subdivision regulations. You see what I'm saying? Because if it was seven lots or greater, if the tracts were under 5 acres in size, the developer or property owner would actually have to have a soils test completed via the DNR, and the DNR would determine a minimum lot size. You're exactly correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, the DNR...
They establish your minimum lot size, and that is a cost to you. I know, because we just went through that in a subdivision we had. We had a mini subdivision, minor subdivision, and as the DNR did the testing, they came back with the soil results, and they said that you can have lot so-and-so was 1.6 or 1.86, which was lower than the minimum we had. But lot A, B, and C, lot C had to be, because the soil perk test is what they call it, it had to be at least 3 acres or that you couldn't have it as a lot. It couldn't be used as a lot because and have a septic system on it. Your concern, let's get back to what your concern was here, Ron, when you talked about your son. I'm going to talk about other circumstances where this does not fit. We had a person that give a public cemetery an acre around the public cemetery. He owned 50 acres. He had to come over and turn his subdivision, or turn his 50 acres into a subdivision, and had that particular 50 or extra acre added in that was in the cemetery. It's totally ridiculous that the man has to go out that cost if he wants to donate to a cemetery. If you want to give your son something and you separate it out and it has access to a public road, he shouldn't have to form a subdivision, and he shouldn't have to say and name it, and it shouldn't be platted down here for the paperwork that we go through. I'll give you one other circumstance. I've fed this. This has been fed to me over the years at a forcible rate. A guy has a piece of property. He decides that he wants to build a house, but he doesn't want to put all his property when he goes to the bank to get a loan. He doesn't want to put all his property up, but he wants to borrow the money on 30 acres of the 40. So to borrow money on the 30 acres of the 40, he has to have it separated off. It becomes a minor subdivision. He has to come down here and name it Countryside, Hillside, or so on and so forth. And so he has all that added cost before he can even get his loan to add a subdivision on something he doesn't ever plan on subdividing.
And you're saying you can't do a split that way? Administratively split without a minor subdivision. In that scenario,
Not the way it's written currently.
How are other counties that have planning and zoning? Do you see within their guidance codes that minor subdivisions are treated the same way?
There are some differences, and I'll bring up a couple just that I'm familiar with. I know in Christian County, basically the cutoff here currently is 40 acres, and where essentially this is saying, if you're going to be splitting or subdividing property, and it's creating tracts 40 acres or less, it's basically required to come through the planning department for approval. Christian County, theirs is actually 20. So if you're splitting, if you've got 120 acres in Christian County and you want to split it into 40s or 30s, you don't come through the planning department for approval, basically. Now, it is my understanding that there's a statute where if you're creating a tract that's 1/16 of a section, or basically 40 acres or smaller, it's supposed to be created by survey, but in Christian County, the way they handle it is they say, well, it requires a survey, but it's not a plat. It's not a subdivision plat that we have to approve. You just go have it recorded, basically. Greene County, I believe, now I could be wrong on this. I need to look into Greene County's For some reason, I was thinking that Greene County looks at 10 acres, I believe.
It used to be 10 here.
But I'm not, I'll have to investigate that further just to confirm that.
Say I have my 20 acres or my 30 or my 100 acres or whatever I have, and I put my son on the deed and he builds a house. Is it considered two parcels?
So really, he's built the house. Your name's on
the property,
or are both names on the deed? Or
well, my question is, do I have to do that? It sounds like I would.
Basically, the way this is written, okay. it you really would.
I got it. And I apologize, I know you've got a lot to go through, but I've sure got some questions about that. I would be real curious. Like you said, there are other counties that are doing it differently.
There are other counties, and like I said, I know that acreage requirement varies quite a bit from county to county. It really doesn't. And what they look at, like I said, essentially this is looking at requiring planning approval more or less, anytime it's a 40-acre tract or less, but that's not the case in some of the neighboring counties.
Am I hearing this right, that this would not allow for farmland, for instance, say someone who has large acreage, and they decide to sell off a chunk of that acreage? Are you saying that that farmland would have to be turned into a subdivision?
No.
Would it be split?
It's looked upon as basically, yeah. if it's 40 acres or less, the way it's written currently.
How would that stand up, I'm wondering, in a federal court about interfering with the enjoyment of a man's land?
And I mean, my hope...
Well, the point is, first, I believe it currently exists in what we have.
And that's I think, what I'm saying, too.
The question is, what options are available to us? Because I have real concerns about that. That's just me personally.
There needs to be common sense changes made in this ruling. And it shouldn't be that if I happen to be a person that had property back in the 80s, that I had 10 acres to deal with this with, but now that I'm in 2011, it's 40 acres that I'm dealing with, and I'm not using hypotheticals whenever I tell you about these situations where the cemetery is at. We have a man that's generous enough to give property for the benefit of all, public property. That's what I call public property. And as he gives this, the county comes down upon him with rules and regulations that gives him the opportunity to pay for the survey, pay for the subdivision plat, pay for everything else out of the goodness of his heart to give something to somebody. He receives the benefit of paying what the county initiates upon him. That is wrong, in my opinion, and you can tell that I'm a little bit, over the years, it's built up on me.
I understand
about it. Again, if you just make note, we've got questions about that.
Yes.
But if I've been here forever and I've got a 400 acre farm and I sell somebody 30 acres from Sacramento, California, suddenly it's the Houseman subdivision and this guy from California lives in the Houseman subdivision. To me that is silly.
I understand, and I am honestly hopeful to amend a number of these items. And one thing I'll bring up, too, I do know that some of the neighboring counties have an exemption for cemeteries. I do know that in their regulations, cemeteries are looked upon as exempt. And so I do know that's feasible.
I'm not trying to get on your case about this because you're just strictly doing what's already here. But this particular cemetery has been added on to twice.
Okay.
And he's had to go through this process twice.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I'm the guy down there stomping my feet saying this is wrong.
I understand. I do. I understand.
Go ahead.
Well, and that's the good thing is I want to note some of these things that, you know, that are our concern. I didn't do. Do we want to move on to page 5, or do we need to discuss this in a little more detail?
Well, I don't like it.
511 or 512?
It's so convoluted. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole thing needs to be reworked.
I agree.
I mean, it looks like we're putting a Band-Aid on a, I don't know. We're doing an add-on to an add-on to an add-on to an add-on, and we hate the original structure. You know, this just needs to be a whole rework because what I've heard, similar things to you, not over the years, but I mean, I was on the other side of this. I was on the developer side of this, and I hated it too.
Yeah.
You know, but this doesn't make sense what we're doing here. This doesn't seem like we're very friendly to the people who want it, I mean, who live on property. I'd rather you reworked all of 5.
Well, they have a great deal.
From structure, go start from the foundation and rework number 5.
And my honest hope is basically to rewrite the entire set of regulations, and that's what I'm working on and working toward. Like I said, these are things primarily that were proposed previously by the Planning Commission.
Let me ask you this. These were, as I read somewhere, these were recommendations submitted to you by an attorney.
Well, what happened on this is these were originally proposed by the Planning Commission. Some of these were from 2009, some were from 2010. And Frank Cotty, the county attorney, he recommended that since it had been a period of time that I bring these recommendations back to the Planning Commission and have them go back through them to see if these were still recommendations that they still wanted to pass on to the planning to the county commission. The other problem we had is some of these amendments. It didn't specify where in the book they were amending.
Well, so here's the thing that I think it's a concern to the county commission here. It's just exactly what Jim said. If you read through here and it refers you back to something that makes absolutely no sense, look back at 1B or 1.6 or something like that, and you go back and read 1.6 and it doesn't make any sense what to you either.
Well, I mean, and I understand that, like, the first part is a little convoluted. This seems just completely messed up. Yeah. I mean, it seems worse than the other. So, is there a way that you could try to rework? This way, I know even though we don't agree, Danny, I would be apt to move forward with all the other changes, you know, with some sort of verbal guarantee that you're going to rethink how we do 613 to try to take out some of the unnecessary regulations and try to clean that up. But I have no intention. I just, this whole page 4 looks like a mess. And it's a good, I mean, I appreciate the work done. And I don't want to say it's not from you and your board. I mean, they're trying to make the best of a bad page. But I just think we're not addressing all the issues that need to be addressed. And if we're going to make this many changes to this, can we not make some more? And tweak it, because I mean, the cemetery exclusion, that seems to make a no-brainer to add in.
No-brainer to add in there.
You know, a lot split, to be able to borrow on 30 acres if you own 40, doesn't seem like it needs to be a subdivision. I mean, I've lived in other parts of the country, and I've done that before, and I've never had to do a subdivision to do a lot split like that. I had 22, I split off 15, you know, and I didn't have to do a subdivision. It just seems like really a non-issue, but that just seems like common sense. I would like to see some common sense put to this, and this doesn't. No offense against you. I know you're taking the documents that you got.
Yeah.
But if we're going to make some drastic changes, can we not address that in these drastic changes and maybe come back with a whole new recommendation? I mean, it just seems like it's not common sense to me.
I understand.
The input that I have on this is I have seen for a long time in dealing with planning and zoning that we have a problem with a definition issue. And that definition has not, to my knowledge, ever been clarified. There should be a difference, and it should be stated in the code book, the difference between a subdivision and a subdividing of land. That has never been clarified.
And you really are right. And that's one thing I did start to bring up is really this looks at a subdivision of land as basically a split of land, whether it's an actual...
We've been hearing that story for years.
Yes.
But the subdividing of land connotates a different thing to the general public as a whole.
I understand.
It also gives a different definition when you begin to talk about regulations, because it allows for the farmer, for instance, to sell off his 30 acres to another farmer to farm without having to turn that into lots.
Doug, did you have
right
some...
Right now, we have, according to our guidelines or regulations, if you have 100 acres, Danny, and you want to sell 5 acres, that's a minor subdivision. So in order for a surveyor, that's going to be lot one, and their other one's going to be lot two.
The whole thing.
Well, in order for us to survey it and plat that, that means we've got to do the whole boundary, which puts a burden. You know, the client doesn't want the whole boundary. All he wants is the 5 acres. And so that puts a burden on, one, the seller, and also, you know,
did you want that example 4 or 5 that I give?
Well, and there's been a lot of misinterpretation of that 16th of a section statute. That anything has to be surveyed that is less than 16th of a section, which is 40 acres, that cannot be described in an aliquot part of a section, which means you can break that 40 acres down into a half, or you can even break it into 40s to where you have 10 acres. So those don't have to be surveyed. Anything that can't be described in an aliquot part has to be surveyed. And I've tried that with our former attorney here, and he stood hard and fast on the 40-acre thing. Well, he was misreading the statute. So that's one of the things. But it really does. I'm dealing with a thing right now that they want to sell off 13 acres in the house. It's Jesse Box's estate. Well, there's 139 acres out there. So the way we have to do it, legally, according to our regulations, I have to survey the whole 139.
And subdivide it.
Yes, and call it a subdivision. And where in the past, we could just go out there and survey the 13 acres and do a survey on it.
Right now, so that these gentlemen understand what you're talking about, is off of a quarter line. If it can be designated off of a particular quarter line, then you don't have to, you can, it should be regulated differently.
Yeah, well, you can divide down. That's like when the lakes came in and they bought property, they kept dividing. If you've read any of those descriptions, how they divide it out, you know, you start out with a quarter section, then a quarter of a quarter, then a quarter of a quarter of a quarter. So you can get that down to 5 acres or even 2.5 acres if you want to.
Right.
And another thing that we come up against all the time, we had two gentlemen that had lots by each other. Well, one fella had a motorhome. He couldn't make his driveway. So he wanted to buy a 10-acre strip on the right-of-way, go down his property line 30 feet, and have a little triangle. That wasn't allowed because it was less than the 2 acres. And the little sliver that we were taking from one was going to decrease the area by just a small amount on the other one, and he wouldn't be in compliance with the septic tank regulation. But both houses were there already. They weren't going to increase the density any. They were just kind of swapping land. And I go back and I tell the client that, well, you can get an easement from him. I don't want an easement. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to pave it. I want it to be mine, which I don't blame him. But it wasn't allowed as per our regulations.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that we need to tweak in the, not just this, but there's a lot of things we need to go over.
Well, and we are eventually headed there.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Which is why we brought him on principally, or primarily.
Yeah,
but we did run into a couple things.
Exactly.
A little water. A little few things got in the way.
Exactly.
We currently have a deal that you're talking about, and I get all these phone calls, and I kind of like for you guys to understand where we're at. We have a county easement that we're dealing with now, mm-hmm. where a guy has got 5 3/4 acres, and he's got 2 kids. He wants to divide it into 2-acre tracts. He's been turned down by P&Z because the county has an easement that's off of that much. So those kind of little things need
but
to be.
There on
needs
those to be situations, some, though, let me give you a different perspective. I'd rather them have perk tests, and if DNR says you need 2.2 acres, then we do a lot split. Because I'd hate to give him 2 acres when it doesn't perk and he needs 2.5.
Right.
But I have no problem doing the lot split that way and not be a minor subdivision, you know. But my concern is if we say an absolute 2 acres, but then it can't house a single family residence, then mm-hmm. we're in no better shape than we're.
That's right.
We're going to cause a problem.
Now, again, one thing I do want to clarify on that, as far as the DNR regulations, the only time a subdivision falls under their subdivision regs is if it's
the 7 lots or more.
More than 6.
I mean, over
yeah,
6.
Yeah, over 6. Lots. So if it's a minor sub, if it's 6 lots, it's not going to fall under the DNR regulations because it's.
That you don't have to have it parked?
Well, you will for your septic
mm-hmm.
through the
well,
health department.
What are you going to buy 2 acres for to build a house on?
If you can't put a house there.
Well,
yeah.
Now the majority of the time, now here's and I'm not going to claim to be an expert on wastewater systems by any measure, but what we see a lot of times, or what we've seen, you know, as far as the septic approvals, is it may be a situation once they've done the soils tests where it may not allow for a traditional septic system. Mm-hmm. It is the issues they get into. Sometimes it may be like a drip irrigation system, a system that's going to be more costly just because they don't have soils there. You know, it's very rocky soils.
Right.
And so that's what I think we see more often than anything.
Bob, I tell you where I'm at on this, and you know, because I've had conversations with you.
Yes.
I want a P&Z code book that is customer friendly.
Yes, I understand.
I think that anything that we do that does not help the customer is out of bounds. And when it's so complicated, I have to read 6.12 and then go back to 2 or 3 other references to decide what it is. I think it should read customer friendly. I think it should be customer friendly.
I believe that's where he's going to take us.
That's my goal.
We're headed there.
Another thing I'd like to see, just for myself and maybe the taxpayers and the residents here too, give him a little more leeway to use some common sense in some of these things instead of taking everything to be approved by so and so or approved by so and so, and let him have. It's just like this driveway instance. If he says, oh, go ahead and do it, go ahead and do that. But, you know, right now, he...
How do you put that into verbiage?
I don't know. Well, he can give him a more of an
administrative
variance? Administrative variance? Could that...
Yeah.
Is there anything such as that? I don't know whether there is or not.
There is if we write it in here.
Greene County, and I don't remember the verbiage... or what they refer to it as, but they, on certain items, actually do have a variance process where they've got a committee that I think it's the planning administrator and the road and bridge administrator, and they've got a committee that can actually meet and approve certain variances from certain items.
Well, and I can understand why that would be set up, but can we also have the shortcut variance? Or these little,
I guess,
common sense items that, I mean,
the thing that gets tough with regulations, and I think we can address a lot of things, but the thing that does get hard is I don't know if you can ever address every situation and every scenario.
That's true.
Because you're still going to have some that just don't fit.
Bob, let's get you to move on if you
okay.
Knock it over to page 5,
okay.
Which says page 7 at the top.
Okay. And I apologize. I didn't explain that either.
No, at the bottom it says page 5.
Yes.
That's just a page from your regulation.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that is exactly, that's the page in the code book that you would find it.
Start with duplex.
What the intent here was is currently what we see, we don't currently have a definition for duplex. And what the intent here was is the majority of the duplex development that's occurred in Taney County, from my understanding, has primarily been condominium-style ownership, right, where essentially you have, the unit held in condo-style ownership, a condominium association that maintains the land in most cases and the parking and that type of thing. What the intent here was in many of these instances, what we're finding is a lot of these folks, the banks just flat, a lot of them are not loaning on condo-style developments. And so I think the intent was to potentially allow for a duplex or even to potentially allow for the conversion of some of these condo-style developments to more of a traditional duplex type of a situation. Now, one of the things I know that's really been debated in the past, and it's one thing I've not gotten a written legal opinion, but just in discussions with the county attorney, one of the early concerns I had was with this, we basically require essentially a firewall between the two units, because with this, you could potentially have one owner of one side of the duplex, another owner of the other side. It was his opinion, at least verbally, that we could actually have a requirement for a firewall without building codes, because I told him that was one of my concerns early on. Now, with this, what they're proposing, what you'll see later on, is they're actually proposing to allow a duplex on, if it's on public water and sewer, on the same size lot as a single family house. If it was proposed on septics, they're basically proposing 2 acres per unit, per side.
The same as it says for single family.
Yeah. But, I didn't know, do you want me, I can read through this, but.
Do gentlemen, questions on this page?
No, and I think this is one thing that Jim and I have talked about, this much needed. I mean, I think that we don't have I've never read a description on a condominium. Mm-hmm. But how do you have a description on a condominium?
You describe it as the unit.
Yes,
the entire unit. Yes. Yes.
Of this particular complex.
Yes.
There, are you guys in agreement there needs to be something done?
Well, the only thing that I can see that needs to be done, and this is a poor instance, we had a developer that would build they called them chateaus, which they were duplexes. One side was complete, ready to go, be occupied. The other side was not complete, didn't have a bathtub in there. The reason being that the owners got to pick out what they want for carpet and wall coverings and all that. Well, they wouldn't give him, they couldn't sell this one because the other side wasn't complete because they had this occupancy permit. Well, that occupancy, the way I read our regulations is for lots. When the lots are ready to be occupied, when the lots are ready to be built upon. Well, that got transferred over to when the lots are the condominium, then are they ready to be occupied? And if they're ready to be occupied, all your entities are in there. So they had to, the developer had to get the other one ready for occupancy before they could sell the one that was ready to be occupied. Or they had it sold before they could transfer the title.
How could you do financing on something like that if you didn't have half your building constructed? Well, I don't understand all that.
They sell them, but it's just like if you were going to buy a house, you want You'd want to pick out your own fixtures. And you know, one of them may have a jacuzzi, and the other one may have a shower. You know, so it's so they were waiting until they had the buyer for the other half before they finished it out.
Now, from a banking perspective, when banks loan on, for instance, a condo or they loan on a patio home, what they're really doing is they're really loaning on blue sky, because all they're really loaning on is that footprint and that building. And what they really would desire to have in place is some kind of regulation that is going to secure that building to stand as long as it can possibly stand. So if that person defaults on that loan, for instance, they've got something to claim.
As we were in BOE, I think, where we had that discussion about this, wasn't it, Jim?
Mm-hmm. Page six, Bob.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right.
And this is just kind of a continuation, really. It does currently, and you almost need to flip a few pages in the future. I wish I would have. If you flip to page 9, there's actually a table on page 9 where what the Planning Commission's recommending is that for a duplex, that basically if there's public or central sewer available, that we allow a duplex on an 8,000 square foot lot, just like we would a single family residence. But the feel was that if it was going to be on septic, that potentially the way the Planning Commission approached this was to require 2 acres per dwelling unit, basically. So, but essentially, that kind
so
of...
So you're saying the duplex would need 4 acres then?
That's what it's saying.
That's the way they've... If it was on septics, if it was on septic systems...
Can't you put a bigger septic in and... In a 2 acre?
I don't necessarily disagree, but that was the feel of the Planning Commission.
Commercial use is still 2.
Okay.
So, but that kind of further explains the change in the verbiage on page 6, because if it were changed, it used to state that any two-family dwelling on a parcel of less than 3 acres would require a Division 2 permit. And basically, they changed it to any duplex, whether it was on less than 3 acres or more, you basically wouldn't have this 3-acre requirement, because they're saying it could either be on an 8,000 square foot lot or it can be on four acres, essentially. Is the thought for the change there.
Okay.
On page 7, the road and access standards, what, and this is something, some of this was addressed in the past. We actually have an entire road standard section in the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The problem is it doesn't necessarily agree with the Taney County Road Standards.
Doesn't match at all.
And so what we're proposing here is to actually remove the majority of that Appendix L, or because it doesn't agree with the current road standards. And this is actually the chart directly from the road standards. So we're just proposing to... Or the Planning Commission was proposing to take that same chart and basically to put it in the code book so that both documents agree, because right now they don't. They really now the one thing that they did propose to keep was the section 2.3 and then 2.4, that subdivisions adjacent to existing deficient streets or roads shall provide additional rights of way necessary to meet the minimum width requirements. And then this other one, a subdivision located on only one side of the existing street or county road shall provide one half of the required right of way width. as measured from the center line of the existing roadway. But the rest, they were proposing basically to just remove because all of those items are already addressed in the road standards. And like I said, in many cases, this doesn't agree with the current road standards, and it causes a lot of confusion.
I have my opinion on that also. And if a subdivision or a private neighborhood has never are never going to consider it being a county road, I don't think that they should have to do that. I think it should be written as if somebody goes out here and wants to build a couple of houses down a quarter of a mile off the road, he hadn't already have to build to the Haney County road standards because it would cost him more than the property's worth. But if it ever is considered, and if once he builds it and he doesn't build it to the road standard, can it ever be accepted into the county system? I mean, that would be some way that you could be worded into something where everybody wouldn't have to build a road that was to that standard.
Now, right now...
right now we have to... It comes before the county commission, and they accept roads and this and that. Most of the time, we don't even know what's underneath them.
Yeah.
But if it was designated that whenever a person builds a road into a, just say, some place where you're going to have six or eight homes or something like that, and they want to have a private drive in there, and it's designated on the deed or whatever would be on there to say, we never plan on turning this over to the county, then I don't think they're to have to build to that. That standard is pretty expensive and pretty ridiculous, some of it.
Now, I know right now the way it's, and we've got the situation right now, if it's 5-acre tracts or larger, so we've got a subdivision that's coming through right now that's going to be an 1,100-acre subdivision, and the only requirement that we've really got is that they put in the 50-foot right-of-way, that they plat that. But because it's 5-acre tracts or larger, we don't have a requirement for how they construct the roads. And that actually has been a little bit of a concern of mine, because that's going to be a pretty large development.
A lot of traffic.
That where they may or may not put these roads in any fashion. But one of the things I've seen done in some other counties in my experience, and I mean, I don't know what the feel would be on this, but it's something I have seen in other areas where they've taken the approach that if you're creating a certain number of lots, that they look upon it as a driveway that's serving those lots. So maybe if it was 3 or 4 lots, it's looked upon as a driveway versus a road. And then once it hits that magic number, it becomes a road versus a driveway. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one approach I've seen in some other places, is they just basically look at it as a private driveway until it reaches a certain threshold.
Yeah, and I guess when I said my thoughts about it, whenever you talked about this thing that's going to come through with the traffic count on it, and once a developer has sold the majority out and decides that he's not going to have anything else to do with it, then you're stuck with a substandard road.
Yeah.
The other thing is, Danny, with what you proposed here, in order to have that changed in a deed, it would require a survey and a specific portion designated as this is going to be exempt. And that's going to put an added burden on the homeowner at time of closing if the deed is changed. Yeah. Because he's going to be paying for a survey, which he never asked for in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm thinking for closing.
Bob, can I get you to move just the next few minutes? We've got a 1 o'clock, and we've just been advised something's been added to that in our exec, which is going to be...
Okay.
We can't miss.
I emailed something from Pat.
Okay. On page 8, and I'll be honest, this verbiage is pretty much in another area of the book. They basically just changed the location of it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you define special events? Page 8 in the blue says E, special events. And it says that a Division 1 permit is required for special events. Did you define what a special event is?
I don't. Let me look and see. I'll be honest.
Events are special.
That just shows up in blue. It's not anything.
That's important.
they actually do.
Okay, good. Now, okay, well, just, as long as they define what special event is, I just didn't want to have
where's it
at? It's not in here. It's in the code. Okay.
Now they're not. That's not a proposed change, but they actually. The only reason those show up in blue, I pulled this directly from the website. And certain terms show up in blue, and you can click on those and go directly
to
that section.
Okay, so that's not even a change you're saying.
No.
It just happens
just,
to be blue.
Yeah, yellow. Just the yellow.
Okay, sorry.
And then, no.
Sorry.
And really, that's the only thing that's being changed there is...
So the bottom is just moved from one area to another.
Exactly.
Okay.
Top of page 9.
And on the top of page 9... I think they wanted to further clarify that land disturbance permits are required for any development site where the affected land area exceeds 1 acre, including streets and utility construction. Now, there is another section where, of course, agricultural uses are exempt. So it does state in another area of the code book
that exempts that appendix F from agriculture.
But yes.
Okay, so it's
where
okay.
Because that was brought up during the hearing. Sure. There was a commission member that said, well, what about agricultural uses? The other member said, look, it's already exempted in another area.
Right.
They didn't see the necessity to
Perfect.
Add it again.
I can assure you there are several people that are going to brace you about that.
Yes, yes.
It almost seems like it would be a great preventive measure to add it again. Are required for any development site that in parentheses, with the exception of exempted lands, where the affected land area exceeds 1 acre. But
there's C exempted lands
something.
Section.
Mm-hmm.
That may just help. Reduce a few phone calls.
Sorry, I was trying to remember on this.
What size requirements is that?
This one, basically, he wanted, they really wanted this to refer back to this table.
So what we're saying with this, though, is a duplex would require 4 acres if they were on a wastewater, on-site wastewater system.
Yes, the way they've got it proposed.
I'm retired to do duplex and mow 4 acres.
Now, like I said, they did look at the same requirement if it's on sewer, the 8,000 square feet, whether it's a house or a duplex. But there was quite a bit of discussion about that, but that's what was voted okay. upon. And I really think this last one, it used to state that they had to have sewer district approval.
Like last one being last page?
Yes, I apologize.
Last page?
It just really says all lots or tracts that are proposed within the minor subdivision shall be required to adhere to the standards of the lot size and frontage requirement table. So really, they're just kind of referring back to that table with that one. And that is it at this point.
I hear nothing in here that is addressing these people who are stuck with small unbuildable lots.
Really?
That's probably correct.
You're right. I mean, currently there's not anything proposed. You know, of course, any lot that was less than the 2 acres, we look upon as long as it was created prior to the adoption of planning and zoning, it's looked upon as grandfathered. But you're exactly right. There still could be instances where
but this
it might not be feasible. Exactly. It may not be.
What she did, what Pat did.
There could be instances where they don't have adequate space for a lateral field, basically. What we see in some instances, like I was talking about before, is it may support a septic system or a on-site wastewater system, but it may be like a drip irrigation system, a more costly system with newer technologies.
So on that, where are they going to build a house?
They can't if their soils don't adequately provide for septic tanks. What he said is they can if they have enough of an alternative system that would meet those demands.
And they can't, according to our regulations now, put a camper out there and camp on it. So what are these people supposed to do with these lots?
Well, and really, I mean, honestly, I don't know that there's anything right now in our regs. We've got a gentleman right now. I'll give you an example. He wants to put a septic system on a piece of property, and he's actually going to use it to bring his RV out to this property periodically. And there's really nothing in our current regs that would prevent it.
There's nothing in the regs either to say that they allow that, and then later on he could build, put a mobile home in there and have a permanent.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got the issue of how close is he to somebody else's well. Exactly.
Now there are, and of course, a lot of these are state requirements too, as far as there is a setback distance between a well and a septic system. So even though some of these things aren't addressed in the code book, some of them are addressed at the state level too. I mean, not necessarily everything, but.
So could not something be put in there that if a lot, for instance, does not meet the county requirements, that they have a right to come in on an appeal process to do a variance, considering the circumstances, or something to that effect?
Really, that would already exist. The only problem you could get into is if it was, depending on the situation, if it was a situation where it was going to require Missouri DNR approval, then it would be something that was
coming. I would like to pull and present to you a number of lots that are sitting out there right now like that with frustrated homeowners. And I get these calls frequently.
I understand. I do. And like you said, they really can request a variance through the Board of Adjustment.
Well, they bought their lot years ago with the understanding that they could build on it.
There's a variant. There's an appeal process. He can ask for a variance. So the process is there.
Well, and potentially, as far as planning and zoning is concerned, a lot of these grandfathered lots, there's nothing that would go against our regulations. Where they get into issues is either with the health department or the DNR concerning their septics.
Or if they sell it, because then the grandfather's off.
It's still looked upon.
If it's previously classed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Take the little village power side. We had to buy four lots to build a basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not which way you measure from.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The county got into that themselves.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Can you do this for us? I know that your platter's full with a lot of things. Can you take what we have talked about and bring something back to us that we might approve with some changes in it.
Yeah, there's certain pages that we can improve. What we probably need to do is let him know which pages. I mean, I've made some notes of what I'm good with, I'm not good with. I mean, I can give you my feedback. You kind of heard Danny's feedback on page one and all that.
I just wish Danny would get off the fence and get an opinion.
I wish he would just make a decision.
Kind of flip-flopping here and there.
But this would be my page. I mean, what I'm good with, what I'm not good with. So, but I think Ron and Danny both need to do that so we can narrow this down. If you want to get with everyone individually.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'd like to approve some of this. I think we agree on some of these pages that we can just get done. And then the ones we need to go back and redo is
one of the...
How long would it take them to get into effect and where they would be regulations that we could use?
As soon as we vote on it. I mean, right, the process is, if I'm not mistaken, the Planning and Zoning Commission has to recommendations to us, and we adopt them.
Yes, or don't, you know, either.
Do or don't. So that's all we have to do is vote on anything in yellow, anything on this document, we can vote on it, and it would go into effect immediately, correct?
Now, the other thing I was going to bring up, and just procedurally, per the statutes, when we hold the public hearing... the County Commission public hearing to vote on these items, it just has to be posted at least 15 days prior to the meeting, and then we have to have the newspaper advertisement at least 15 days prior to the meeting as well.
You know.
So if these things are adopted, I heard you guys talking earlier about increasing communication with the county. Why could not the proposed changes that have been adopted be sent to the Tri-Lakes Board of Realtors so the Tri-Lakes Board of Realtors could put out memo to all real estate agents saying what the changes in regulation were? Because what I see happening here is us not knowing the final outcome of what you guys have decided, and then some real estate agent comes along, sells property, gives erroneous information, and they're up for a lawsuit. Real estate agents get sued all the time.
Who is who's on your legislative subcommittee? Those people probably need to be able to do that. I mean, there's a subcommittee. Is there not with
what's wrong with the county putting that information out if they're the ones
this will be public. I'm not saying that part of the public hearing part is that we have to post this. But if the Tri-Lakes realtors want something more specific, I think that they need to be able to, I mean, this will be a public document if we, whatever we decide to vote on will be the public document with 15 days in advance.
Yes.
That's what's going to be done by law.
Not all agents are going to catch that.
So how would we get that to them?
She's just saying if we forward that information to her, then
Just put a notice. You could send it to me, and I'd send it to Tri-Lakes Board of Realtors and say, put this out for agents. Because agents are not always aware that these things are happening. I wouldn't have known it was happening except I was here today.
Now, is this going to be one final document, or are you going to do it as recommendations come in?
No, it's not going to be a final document. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a work in progress because there's a lot that these guys do.
So you'll adopt different versions. You know,
right. Well, I think that's the only way to get some things implemented is that we're going to have to do it in steps.
Piecemeal. For now. You brought us some things.
Right. Yes.
There's a number of other things you're going to be bringing us.
Yes. And my hope is to actually rewrite these regulations. I mean, with the blessing of the County Commission. I mean,
that's what we want you to do.
Got a couple of things that I'll talk to you about. I mean, telling you how many pounds of seed you can put on a piece of ground per acre, that's ridiculous.
I understand.
And what kind it is.
Let me have us stand in recess till we're scheduled at 1 o'clock.